Amen. I have come to really enjoy the Sunday before Christmas, and I think part of it is we're close enough to the Christmas event that we're all excited, right? But we're far away from the crush of all the expectations of all the things that have to get done. I mean, you'll wake up tomorrow morning and realize it's Monday before Christmas, right? And there's all that stuff you got to get done. But we can simply just kind of be here in the moment and to experience the story again. And so all throughout the month of December, this Advent season, this season of preparation, we've been focusing together on the visits of the angels to various people in the Christmas story, as slowly God's message and plan is unveiled, people get little bits of the story. We have the privilege, 2,000 years later, of getting to kind of read it all at once. But I hope that this weekly look at parts of the story have helped to helped us to understand just how amazing and yet also how challenging these messages were to the various people that received them. We began with the angel visiting Zechariah, an old priest, at the end of his career, at the end of his life, and being told that in this old, advanced age, he was going to be a dad for the first time. The second week, we read the story of the angel coming to a young girl, and how likewise unexpected the message that she too was pregnant, and how all of the uncertainty and emotions and questions must have swirled in her mind. And yet her response was to say yes to God. Then we read the story of the angel's visit to Joseph in the middle of the night in his dream, how Joseph had learned that Mary, his fiancée, was pregnant, and that he had decided to annul their marriage, divorce her, and to move on, but to do it quietly, until an angel spoke to him and changed Joseph's destiny forever. So up until this point, these angelic visitations, these messages from God, have been relatively quiet and individual messages. The angel to Zechariah in the temple by himself. The message to Mary at her home by herself. The message to Joseph in a dream by himself. The last message that we will look at is the one of the angels bringing the good news of the birth of the Messiah to an unlikely group of people. The shepherds abiding in their fields, watching over their flocks by night. So I want to read that story and remind us of the setting that's happening. So this comes from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 8 through 14. And we're going to read kind of the first half of the story, and then we'll see the shepherd's response in the second half. So hear this word from Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." So the angels are sent to the shepherds to make the announcement that will change the world. The announcement that the people of God had been longing to hear, that the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who would come to save the people, he had indeed been born, and the shepherds are invited to come and to bear witness to this news. Now, I want you to think about the answer to a question. When you have really good news, who do you tell? Think about the last piece of really great news that you had. And who was the first person that you called, or the first person that you told? Was it a spouse? The best friend? A parent? You probably thought of someone that you already had a relationship with, right? You would tell someone this good news with someone you already had this relationship with. I bet none of you thought, well, the first person I would call is the teller at the bank, right? Or the first person I would call with my really great news is the cashier at Kroger. Now, you may know them, but I don't know if you have that kind of relationship with them, right? That you would interrupt someone in the middle of their workday that you don't know and run out and tell them, "Guess what, I'm pregnant." You wouldn't do that, would you? It seems odd. But that's exactly what happens here in Luke's gospel. The shepherds are in the middle of their workday. And the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, the divine message comes to them, interrupting their work to tell them of this wondrous news of the birth of the Messiah. It's unexpected. Even in the ancient world, it's unusual to make such an announcement to strangers. And in the ancient Israelite context, it's even doubly odd to make this announcement to shepherds. Now, in our kind of Christmas imagination, we like to think of shepherds as kind of really cute and cuddly people, right? Because mostly we see shepherds depicted in our Christmas nativity pageants, you know, kids wearing, you know, their parents' bathrobes that are too big and kind of dragging on the floor, right? And they kind of have made a little shepherd's crook out of a wrapping paper tube, you know? And they're all kind of nice and funny and cute and cuddly. Or we think of like the Precious Moments. My mom loved Precious Moments figurines. I think we had the complete set, you know, thousands of dollars worth of little figurines probably. And those little shepherd figurines. You know, we think of shepherds as a cute addition to the Christmas nativity scene. But shepherds, even modern shepherds, but particularly shepherds in ancient Israel, they were not cute and cuddly folk. They were blue-collar, hard-working, salt of the earth, skin turned to leather by being outside in the sun all day. They had the distinct smell of sheep wherever they went, right? These were not the type of people that were considered the high and mighty of Israel. In fact, Pharisees and Sadducees had come to look down upon the shepherds because they were often ritually unclean because of their work. And what they had to do to maintain their flocks would make them ritually unclean. So many shepherds would never go to temple, would certainly not go to synagogue. They worked in the fields, they slept in the fields, they ate in the fields. They didn't have time for regular religious observance. Shepherds are an unlikely group that we might pick to tell the news that the king has been born. But luckily, God doesn't always do what we expect God to do. And so God sends the divine messenger, his angel, to announce for the first time publicly the good news, the gospel, that a Messiah, the Lord, has been born. Now, in this scene, as the angel makes this announcement, we're told that the shepherds are out in the fields, the angel speaks to them, and then suddenly the angel is accompanied by a multitude of heavenly hosts, and the glory of God shines around them. So I don't know how you imagine this or picture this, but it's an awe-inspiring sight. And while we might think it beautiful, it's clear that the shepherds are scared out of their mind, right? And we've talked about this a couple of times, I think, that in the ancient world, when God shows up, the first reaction is always fear. Not because we are afraid of God, but rather, in the ancient Israelite mind, the assumption is that none of us are worthy to stand in the presence of God, or not even his messengers, that we would stand in the presence of the divine and live. And in fact, this phrase here, glory of God, is a very particular phrase in Israel. The glory of God referenced the very presence of God, the Kabod Adonai, in the temple and in the tabernacle. If you remember, years and years before this, as the Israelites wandered the desert in the 40 years of wilderness, they were instructed to set the temple up, and that the presence of God, the glory of God, the Kabod Adonai, would appear as a cloudy pillar by day and a fiery pillar at night. And whenever the Kabod Adonai moved, then you packed up your tents and you followed the Kabod Adonai. And when the Kabod Adonai stopped, that's where you set up your temple camp. And so when the glory of God shows up on a hillside to unexpected shepherds, even though these folks had probably not been to synagogue or temple in years, they remembered the story. And they thought they were dead men. Because when God shows up, we who are unrighteous and sinners can't hope to stand in his presence and live. We've seen this reaction several times in the stories that we've read. And yet every time the angel says the message, "Do not be afraid," correcting the assumption that these people have anything to fear when God shows up. Instead, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I have good news." Good news. And that's the message that we really should reflect on this Christmas season. This message of the good news. That in the city of David, in this out-of-the-way small town that you've never heard of, has been born the Messiah, the King, the Anointed One who has come to save. This child is the Lord. And just as the angel finishes and the glory of God appears, Not only that, a heavenly army shows up and starts singing. Glory to God in the highest, peace among men whom the Lord favors. I love that, an army showing up to sing peace. And as quickly as it all has happened, as unexpected as it was, just as quickly the encounter is over. The angels depart. And I imagine it took a little bit of time for the shepherd's eyes to adjust back to the dark with everything gone. So I wonder, if you had encountered this angelic visitation, what would you do next? What would you do? Because here's something that it took me a while, several years, to realize. The angels don't command the shepherds to do anything. Did you notice that? The angel gives them clues to how you would go about finding the child, but they don't particularly say, "And therefore the Lord hast thou now declared, get on your donkey and ride." Don't do that. It's almost as if the announcement of the good news is left hanging in the air to see what the shepherds would do next, putting the decision in their hands. How will you respond to this good news? And you can imagine that the shepherds have a lot of good reasons to do nothing. First off, I mean, just because the angel said, "Be not afraid," I might still be afraid. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what this means. An army just showed up and sang a song to me. I don't know if I want to get involved in this. I mean, this, you know, you talk about a new king and an army, and this sounds like we're going to be in it for a battle. I don't know if I'm up for that. That fear that the shepherds have in the very beginning, that fear may still cling to them, or at least to some of them, because they all know who the king is. His name is Herod. And this doesn't exactly sound like it's going to be good news to the Herod. So the shepherds could have, in their fear, stayed. A second reason is they're at work. They're too busy to drop everything and traipse to Bethlehem in the middle of the night. Because the middle of the night is really an important part of their work. They're shepherds. Their goal is to protect the flock, to keep them safe. Particularly at night when wild animals and other things would come to try to capture one of the sheep in their fold. Or when one of the sheep in the middle of the night would kind of just get up and wander off, because that's what sheep do. We just kind of get up and wander off. This was the busy season of their work. Can you imagine? What if their boss comes by for a spot inspection and they're all gone? Imagine them telling themselves, "That's really interesting, but I've got too much to do at work." But a third reason, and perhaps the hardest one to shake, is what if the shepherds were just too ashamed of who they were? Maybe they were ashamed because they never really considered themselves all that religious or all that worthy. Yeah, they believed in all the stories they heard growing up as little Hebrew boys, but it had never been something they felt worthy to live into fully. They weren't priests. They weren't Levites. They weren't anyone important. Maybe the angels got the address wrong. They were supposed to be two hills over. I'm not worthy. I think too many people end up missing the good news, missing this life-changing announcement, because they're too afraid of what it really might mean for their life. If I really believe that the God of the universe loved me enough that he would risk being like me in order to save me, and if I really believe that, that would really kind of have to change the way that I behave in this world. And I'm too afraid to change. I'm too wrapped up in my own stuff. I'm too afraid that I'd have to make different decisions with my time, different decisions with how I treat other people. I'd have to make different decisions about what's really important to me in life. Or maybe we are just too busy. You know, we're coming up on the New Year's holiday, right? We're all going to make resolutions. And I'm sure one of the resolutions we're going to make is, you know what, I'm really going to really dig into my faith this year. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. But then around January 2nd, when you got to go back to work, and the busyness of life sets back in, we get too busy. And it's just too easy to say maybe next year. And then finally, I do think so many of us, when we get down to it, we are too ashamed. Yeah, that stuff about Jesus loving and forgiving, that works for other people. But if people really knew the real me, if people really knew the mistakes that I make and the things I think about my coworker or the things that I think about other people, the judgment that I carry, I know I shouldn't be judgmental, but it's just there. If God really knew how bad a sinner I really was, they wouldn't even let me in the door. And we tell ourselves that lie, that we're not worthy of his love, or that we can't be forgiven, or that we really can't start a new life. And so we end up hearing the message and then staying put. Let's see what the shepherds do. Picking back up in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord had made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. So the shepherds take the risk. They drop their fear. They drop their excuses. They let go of any guilt or shame. They leave their sheep and meet their new shepherd. And their response is to sing. Now, I don't know what a chorus of shepherds sounds like, but I'm sure it's not exactly on key. But they sing nonetheless. They join in the song that the angel sang to them. They glorify God. They praise God. And it appears that they told everybody in the town what they had heard on their way in and on their way out. Now, they go back to work as shepherds, I'm sure. But they go back changed. Because when they hear the good news, they decide to respond. And then they decide to tell everybody else what they had heard. A Savior has been born. The King has come. And the Lord will save us. That good news is worth sharing with anybody. I hope you do. And at the very least, I hope you believe it for yourself. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that in the midst of life, in the midst of our work, in the midst of our daily routine, you are the type of God who will interrupt us. Like you did the shepherds years ago, breaking into their routine to let them know that the world had been changed forever and that they were included in God's saving plan. Lord, we're grateful that when they heard the news, they responded with faith to tell people what they had heard and to sing your praise. Lord, I pray that like the shepherds of old, we may be people that are willing to be interrupted, to not give any excuse about how we're too busy or we'll get to it later, but that we will accept in our own heart this good news that Jesus, our Savior, our King, has come to us. And may we, inspired by the shepherds, pick up their song of praise and sing to you with joyous hearts. All this we ask in the name of the King, the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus. Amen.